Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DSM First Quarter 2008 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DSM. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot for joining us for this conference call. I will give you a brief summary of the results, and then I will turn to Mr. Senaldi, the Group Chief Financial Officer, who will go through the presentation of the Q1 results. Let's start from a general comment. This has been a very good quarter for the company, as you have seen from all the different indicators. If we start from revenues, there has been a strong acceleration of the revenue growth, notwithstanding a negative impact on the different currencies, including the dollar. At current exchange rate, the group has grown more than 13%, which would have been almost 18% at constant rates. If we now look at different geographies, the U.S. continues to grow more than expected, driven by, on one side, the Liaison placement. We continue to increase our install base with direct sales force and the support of Cardinal, as well as a growing demand from the vitamin D side, as we have commented on the last quarterly meetings. We always said that there is an increase of clinical evidence that vitamin D is associated with a variety of diseases, and this clearly now is, I think there is awareness on the practitioners in the U.S., and they've been driving up the demand of this test into the labs. When it comes, just one note, Roche, would be our own only competitor so far in the U.S., did not get the approval of their product. When it comes to a brief comment to Italy, Italy, as you know, represents almost 25% of our turnover in our domestic market. The growth in the quarter one was more than 15%, almost 17, I believe. And this has been driven mainly by the fact that we continue to increase the revenues of the installed base of Liaisons. As you know, we have a very large installed base in Italy, and we continue to sell more products on this installed base. For all other markets, including the new initiatives, namely Mexico, Israel, and China, we continue to have a very good growth following the historical trend that we did comment already in the last conference calls. From the install base perspective worldwide, we have installed 90 units in quarter one, in line with our expectation. As you know, the indication we're always giving to the market is that our ability, we have an ability to place 400 units per year worldwide in terms of new installation of Liaison. So we are in line with that expectation. When it comes to margin, we continue to have a margin improvement, mainly driven by the technology shift from RIA and ELISA to the Liaison. Liaison today does represent almost 56% of our total turnover. Now, just one more comment to the OPEX. The operating expenses are clearly under control. They represent, I think, 36%, a little over 36% of the total turnover, decreasing percentage-wise over last year. Again, in line of the fact that the group continues to invest to guarantee its growth, but we still control our operating structure very well. I would now then turn to Mr. Senaldi, who is going to go through the presentation, and then at the end of which we will be taking questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlo. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. In the usual fashion, I will take you through the presentation, highlighting first of all the key elements of the P&L and then going to the details of the individual line items. So if I may ask you to turn to slide number 2, where the quarter one profit and loss is represented. And if we start from the development of the top line, you can see that the net revenues at 56.6 million on a consolidated basis represent a growth as reported of 13.5%. And we've seen this at constant exchange rate, particularly with reference to the development of the US dollar versus the euro. The growth at constant exchange rate would have been 17.8% versus the same quarter of 2007. If we then move to the gross profit has grown by 14.4% versus previous year, increasing also in not only driven by the development of the top line, but also increasing its incidence on the turnover from 64.1 to 64.6. Operating expenses, as Carlos just mentioned, have developed less than proportionally to the turnover. The incidence now is 36.6% versus previous year 36.9%. All in all, this has resulted in EBITDA development of close to 25% versus previous year and operating profit development or EBIT development of more than 30% to 15.7 million versus 11.9 million. As you will recall from previous conferences, last year we recorded some items that we define of a non-recurring nature, which are linked to listing DSR and SPA on the stock exchange in Milan. Last year we had recorded exceptional costs of 1.4 million, so if we adjust EBITDA and EBIT for these non-recurring items, we would get a growth of EBITDA of 14.3%, 19.2 million versus 16.8 last year, and a growth at EBIT level of 17.8%, 15.7 versus 13.3. If you look at the net financial expenses, this quarter DSR recorded positive financial items, particularly due to the devaluation of the debt position in currency that the group has. Tax-wise, the group has recorded a lower tax rate than in the previous year and in the comparable quarter of the 2007, particularly linked to the reduction in the income tax rate in Italy and in Germany. And as a result of all this, the net result has moved up by close to 50% from 6.8 million to 10.1 million in quarter one 2008. If you now move to slide number 3, where we see the key driver of our growth, we have already discussed the rate of the growth. This is clearly due to the continuous enlargement on the installed base on the Liaison, which has moved up from around 2070 at the end of 2007 to 2160 at the end of the first quarter, with a placement rate of around 90 machines per year, which per quarter, which is in line with what we did in quarter one 2007. We continue leveraging the installed base of Liaison, which means we continue increasing the revenue per box, particularly as we have enriched further the asset portfolio that we can offer on the Liaison. And as you know, since 2006, we have launched 30 new assays under CE mark, of which 10 specialties, and we deliver 7 new assays, we cleared 7 new assays from the FDA, of which all specialties. You will see in 2 slides' time in the way the growth was driven by mainly the US and the European markets. If we talk about the technology-driven, the technology drive underneath the sales growth, on slide number 4, you can notice that, as we've seen in the past, the Liaison, or better, Clear technology has been driving entirely the growth of the group. Clear sales grew in the quarter versus previous year 34%, and the weight of the Clea technology overall, the portfolio of PSR sales is now 56.6%. The comparable quarter of 2007 was close to 48% weight, and you may recall that on average 2007 was just above 50% of our turnover. In terms of the geographical area, which drove the growth, on slide number 5, you can see that Europe as a market for DSRN has been growing by 14.3%, with particular performance in Italy, where the growth was close to 18%, and I would like to mention Belgium, 17.1%, UK and Nordic, which grew by far more than the average growth of the group. It is worth mentioning that in the quarter one, we also see the beneficial effect on the top line of opening up a new market in Europe, which is the Russia, where we had no distribution in quarter one 2007. As far as North America is concerned, Carlos already mentioned, the growth as reported or as represented and the consolidated numbers on the U.S. market has been 23.2%, which, however, discounts a significant devaluation of the U.S. dollar versus the euro. In local currency, i.e. in U.S. dollar, the growth has been close to 41%. Reproducing basically the performance that we had at the end of 2007. The rest of the world, i.e. the markets outside Europe and the US, have been growing just above zero in 2008 in the first quarter, and this is due particularly to two counter effects. The significant growth in the markets where we are distributed, in particular I would like to mention Australia, has been offset by a delay on the Brazilian market in the achievement of one tender, which we believe will be, however, started in quarter two 2008. And the growth that we recorded in China on the Chinese market at the end of 2007, as you may recall, because of the assignment of a very large tender which foresaw a bulk delivery in one solution only. All in all, this has resulted, as I was saying before, in a growth at consolidated level of 13.5%. Now, aside from the top line, all the profitability indicators have been growing. We have commented a few before as well. I would like to give you some more highlights on the gross margins. The gross margin has grown by 14.4% versus previous year, and the incidence of a turnover by 50 basis points. This is driven and continuously driven by structural factors like the change in the mix of products, shifting towards Liaison and Clea products with a higher profitability than the average, and the operating leverage on the installed base, therefore on the depreciation on the instruments we have on the market. By the same token, this effect has been partly mitigated by a higher weight of sales of instruments, which again have been above 11% versus previous year, and higher royalties with a retroactive effect, which were accrued in quarter one. Interesting part is that because of the signing of the contract at the end of the quarter and the fact that we could not reflect this in the price, thing that we will be able to do in the future, this is what we believe a temporary effect and a temporary erosion on the market, which will soon be recovered through the prices. In terms of EBIT and EBITDA, I believe we have already commented the improvement, 31% growth of the operating profit and close to 25% development on the EBITDA level. If I can then move on to the key items of the cash flow and the balance sheet, in quarter one of this year we have delivered operating cash flow of 8.2 million before capital expenditure of 2.7, so net 5.5 million versus quarter one 2007 of 7.5 before capital expenditure of 3.5 million. So all in all, an improvement versus previous year at operating level of 1.5 million quarter on quarter. As a consequence of this, the net debt, which we carried at the end of 2007 at the level of 12.1 million negative, has reduced to 6.5 million at the end of quarter one, and the cash equivalent at the end of the cash and the equivalents that the group is holding at the end of the period is 13.1 million versus 12 at the end of quarter one 2007. On the other side of the balance sheet, the net capital employed has increased from 132.4 to 133.7, discounting also the devaluation effect of the dollar. All in all, the equity at the end of quarter one is 127 million versus 120 at the end of 2007. I think that in terms of financial, this is all I would like to say, and preparing for the Q&A session, I would just like to anticipate what are the forthcoming events in terms of communication of the company. The next event is the participation on June 5th and 6th to the European Midcap Forum in New York. On August the 8th, we will have board approval of the 2008 half-year report, and in September 3rd and 4th, we plan to participate to Goldman Sachs European MedTech and Healthcare Services Conference. I would like now to leave the floor to a Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Stefan Sumar of Exane. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Stefan Sumar from Exane in Paris. I've got a couple of questions. The first one, could you please come back on what you have mentioned in your press release this morning regarding manufacturing waste, which affects apparently the U.S. production, and could you please quantify this negative impact, and is it likely to be a recurring over the next few quarters? And my second question is regarding financial charges. Just to make sure, that do you still take into account the impact of factoring in the financial at the financial level or not? Thank you.
Okay. I'll take the question. First of all, let me put things in perspective in terms of the facts of the different components of the margins. As I said before, there are two structural components which have impact on the margin improvement, which are the shift in the mix of products and the leverage on the depreciation. Now, against this, or this effect has been, as I said, partly mitigated by two things which we have mentioned in the press release. One is the renegotiation of an OEM contract and the related royalties, which I already commented, and to a very minor extent to the increase in the waste coming out of the U.S. operation. This is clearly related to the ramp-up, or the very steep ramp-up of production of vitamin D, and we do believe that this, and particularly having put things in perspective, because this is a minor effect, we do believe this is, or can be considered, a one-off effect. This was to your first question. To your second question, yes, indeed, we do still use factoring without recourse, and the cost of the factoring is recognized through the net financial expenses.
And just to come back on the waste manufacturing rate, could you please quantify the negative impact it has on it had on margin in Q1, please?
Sorry, this is Carlo Rosa. I don't think that we want to quantify this. It's a very, as Andrea said, it's a very minor effect. It has to do with ramp up, and I don't believe that we should focus on this when you have in front of you the financial results of the quarter one. is a negligible impact.
Next question is from Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. First of all, my compliments for the very good results. I have three questions. The first one, I've seen that there was a very, with respect to the first quarter of last year, a very strong growth in the instrument division and a reduction, a year-on-year reduction in ELISA. I was wondering if you can expand on that, and also if you can say if this trend is going to continue in the next quarters. Second question I have relates to the revenue per box. If I see your installed base, average installed base in Q1, and the revenues of Clea, looks like the revenue per box were really up year on year. I'm trying to analyze, it looks like they are around 60,000 euros on a full year basis. Are my calculations correct? What's the trend behind that? And the last question, if I may, if you have an update on M&A, and if you are finding lower multiples going around after the, let's say, stock market crisis. Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to take one and three, and then Andrea is going to go. Is going to explain to you the number two. When it comes to the trend of the technologies, remember, unfortunately, ELISA as a technology is the one that is sold significantly in the U.S. So when you see the reduction of sales in ELISA, pretty much lots of it has to do with exchange rate. The tender that we won in Brazil and has been delayed from quarter one to quarter two, and by the way, the first shipment already happened in April, so we started shipping in quarter two, is all ELISA. And so we believe that we are going, by year end, the decline that you see in ELISA technology today will be partially recovered. Still, we will have the effect of the exchange rate on the ELISA technology. Now, when it comes to M&A activity, as we stated before, we are in a continuous search. We clearly have identified companies that we like. We like the management, we like their product portfolio, and we are working on those opportunities. We are not ready at this point to make any disclosure whatsoever when it comes to an acquisition, and you clearly understand why. I will now turn to Andrea for your second question.
Yeah, in terms of revenue per box, Massimo, you may have noticed that we do disclose revenue per box only on yearly results, and this is because on a quarterly basis you cannot project. In fact, the only thing you can do is to multiply by four what is the revenue of Liaison achieved in quarter one, but this could be providing you a distortive number. So we never comment on a quarterly basis on the revenue per box, although we do know and we do anticipate that the revenue per box will continue its climb up as compared to previous year.
Thank you very much.
We have a follow-up question from Stéphane Soumar of Exane. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry, but I've been cut from the conference call. I don't know if you have listened to my last question, but I was asking you about the number of instruments of Liaison installed in the U.S. by Cardinal in Q1 out of the 90 you have mentioned.
Sorry, 90 was the total number in of the group worldwide. 15 systems were installed in the U.S. And going by memory, I believe Cardinal is around 10 systems by Cardinal. And we expect that quarter two Cardinal is going to be more significant because the end of the fiscal year is June. And so clearly there is always a drive in quarter two for them to achieve their target. So the number in the U.S. is 15 for Q1.
And just to come back on the business done by Cardinal, could you please provide us with a little bit more details about the kind of product they are selling? Is it essentially vitamin D?
No, Cardinal sells all the portfolio.
But in terms of, let me put it another way, what is the percentage of, what is the contribution of vitamin D in sales done by Cardinal?
I don't think I, to be honest with you, that's an information that I don't want to comment about. You understand that in the U.S., vitamin D, as I told you before, is a significant business for us, and the market is booming. So you understand also that when it comes to Cardinal, that represents a good chunk of the opportunity that Cardinal is pursuing. But Cardinal is selling de facto the ELISA as well as the Liaison portfolio. In fact, we always focus on the Liaison, but they also sold for us Etimax, the important one, with the hepatitis line.
Okay, and I don't know if the question has been asked already, but in terms of guidance on over the full year, are you sticking to the to your view of a double-digit reported growth on 08 alongside a 1 percentage point improvement at the EBIT level?
I don't think that we've done, we've given any guidance, although as a general comment, we believe that the quarter one result, that double-digit growth would be what to expect for 2008. As you have seen, we grew more than 13 and would have been almost 18% at a constant exchange rate. So I think that 10% is achievable.
Okay, even if the basis is becoming a bit more demanding in H2 compared to H1.
The what, sorry, is becoming
the basis of comparison apparently is becoming much more demanding in H2 compared to H1.
More demanding in terms of?
In terms of last year in H1 you were up 10% and 12% organically, and H2 was up 15-16% and almost 19% organically. So my question was in fact about the ability for the group to extrapolate the trend seen in Q1.
Listen, to me it would be very unfair one way or the other to compare always quarter to quarter in this business. I believe that you should look at a more longer trend. To a point that I always caution everybody, as I did in last quarter in 2007, that we should really not consider 40% growth in our U.S. business as a trend that you should use going forward. So by the same token, I'm telling you that you asked me by year end, and I told you yes. What I see, I believe that by year end we will have a double-digit growth. If you ask me, is it going to be also in quarter two, we're going to see each other in 90 days.
Mm. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question is from Martin Whale of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. Can I just clarify a few things? I apologize if I'm asking you things you already answered, but I struggle to hear some of the call. Firstly, in terms of your top-line growth in countries such as Belgium, the UK and Sweden, what were the drivers behind that, and how sustainable do you see it as?
Okay, is this the only question, Martin?
In countries such as the UK, Sweden...
No, I understand the question. I'm just saying, is this the only question?
No, I have a lot more, but let's start with those.
Okay, the driver, listen, in those countries, if you take to UK and Sweden, pretty much where we started from almost nothing in Sweden, and in UK was a base of RIN ELISA, the big driver is the Liaison, as usual, not only, but is especially in Scandinavian Sweden, is the Liaison with a specialty strategy in the area of infectious disease with Borrelia, of bone and mineral, clearly, with vitamin D and PTH, and hypertension with renin. So our positioning in those markets where it's very difficult to sell is that we wanted to be recognized as specialists, and it's paying off very well, as you have seen from the trend. When it comes to Belgium, If you do a quick calculation on market size and business, in Belgium we have the same penetration that we have in Italy, pretty much. And the growth in Belgium, where we have a substantial base of business of RIN ELISA, again, is driven by the Liaison, which is growing nicely, and the fact that we are able to contain very well the current business, base business of RIA and ELISA. So all the liaison business is new business. We don't cannibalize any RIA and ELISA.
Okay. In terms of emerging competition in vitamin D, obviously you highlighted the fact that Roche aren't in the United States yet. Do you have any timing of when you expect that to happen?
Listen, that's a question we don't, because as you know, and it works also for Diasorin, sometimes predicting the way the FDA reacts is impossible. I see that Roche was forecasting first quarter or 2008. It did not happen. So I don't know how far they are, but to be honest with you, today in the U.S., I believe that more than Roche, mass spec and the use of mass spec would be had to be considered as a true competition to vitamin D. I think it's public knowledge that one large reference lab, namely Quest Diagnostics, is using mass spec. They don't use any immunoassay. And so pretty much we are already splitting the market today with homebrew testing and mass spec, and we are winning that battle and enjoying the growth. But again, that the vitamin D market is growing so substantially that I think there is room for a lot of different technologies.
Talking about Liaison XL, what is the current thoughts on timing of that launch? Is it still the back end of 2009, or is it likely to be later now?
No. Is the timeline is quarter four 2009. By July, we are receiving validation units, and we now have the prototype units. Validation units will be shipped to the sites to start with the validation effort, which will take place in the summer, fall, and the beginning throughout next year. And we foresee the launch in quarter four 2008. Again, Martin, beware of the fact that outside this, let me say, the financial community, if you go into the real market, we really downplayed the Liaison XL. So we've not announced it, we've not shown to anybody, and we plan to launch it to our customers, show it to the customers at the AACC in 2009, which is July 2009. So I keep saying you guys know more about the XL than our current customers, because we want to make sure that they don't get cold feet on the current Liaison, stalling business and waiting for the Liaison XL.
Okay. And looking at your tests, you gave the numbers of tests you've launched at the end of 2006. Can you tell us how many tests you've launched in 2008 and how many tests, both specialty and general tests, you expect to launch by the end of next year?
I see that we stick to the guideline. Last year we did eight or seven. It was seven. We did seven or eight. Seven last year. This year, by year end, we are going to do four. We have the first one coming is bone alkaline phosphatase, which will be launched, I believe, by June in Europe. June 1st in Europe. Then we have some infectious disease products that will be launched for the U.S. market, and one of the two is for Europe. When it comes to then next year, as you know, next year our plan is the Liaison XL with a fully validated menu, and then the initial introduction of the HIV and the hepatitis C by year end. I remind you that the relevant patents for hepatitis C are in fact expiring by the end of 2009.
Okay, a couple of financial questions. Your tax rate, how do you see that going forward?
The tax rate, Martin, we are talking about just about 37%. I believe that this is now, for the time being, as low as we can go. And this is, as I said, is because of the change in the legislation in Italy and in Germany. So I don't see much space to go below 37%.
But you see it sustainable at that level?
We do see it stable, yes.
Okay. Impressive. And your dividend policy going forward, obviously you announced your first dividend earlier this year. You just had it approved at the AGM. do you have a policy going forward? Are you going to try and grow it in line with earnings, grow it at a double-digit level? Do you have a target payout ratio? I mean, how are you thinking about the dividend?
Martin, we have no we have no guidelines for when it comes to dividends. We decided to do it this year because it made a lot of sense and we had excess cash. I hope we can continue to do it going forward, but we always stated as a shareholders, including our main shareholder, that we intend first to give priority to investment in the business, and then if there is an excess cash and makes sense, then give it to the shareholders. I think that the, whoever invests in this company is investing betting on growth rather than dividend.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, Martin.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions at this time.
Thank you very much, everybody.